on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, May 8th, 2015. Our mission is always help improve your decision-making skills when it comes to money. We focus on investing, of course, as you know, because it's really the only way in this environment that you can make any money. I was looking at my wife's money market account statement that she just got, and I was interested to see how much her interest rate was from the bank for her money market. 0.1%. 0.1%. So you're not going to make any money. Inflation is a lot higher than that, and inflation is super low. And it's still a lot higher than that. So what do we have to do? Of course, there is risks when you're talking about investing, and a lot of risks sometimes. So you got to be really careful. Each week, our premium newsletter I send out to our subscribers in their email box on Friday. And I always start off with the week's summary of what's going on. There was a number of interesting economic numbers out this week. Of course, the jobs report this morning was the most interesting one. And we're going to get into some more detail about that later on the show. Other numbers were important as well. I spelled out in the newsletter some of these numbers, especially the about the second quarter. So I tried to also prepare the subscribers for the summer months ahead. There's usually a correction in the summer. Almost every summer has a correction. It's rare that it doesn't. And so, you know, I always mention those kinds of things. That's what's in the newsletter and what we might want to do about it. In the next section, I put forward a couple stock ideas. Always do that. And then I also, this week, portfolio management. There's always a portfolio management section. And we're talking about, you know, bigger question, what does it take to be a successful investor in the portfolio management section? And this is a question many new investors ask me. How do I become successful? Well, the answer is pretty straightforward, and it's pretty simple, but it does take work. And it takes understanding of what's going on and how to control your emotions and how to rationalize decision-making. How to properly diversify, and you know how to hedge yourself. There's all kinds of things to learn. And finally, in the consumer watch section, you ever try to delete yourself off of some website? Delete me. Don't send me any more of this stuff. Well, we talk about how difficult that is, and sometimes impossible. For instance, if you delete yourself out of Facebook, you haven't deleted yourself out of Facebook. That's not how it works. Even though you think you have. Well, we have some help with that. We've got a couple websites that might help you with that. And that's a peek at the weekly newsletter that I send out every Friday. It's $9.99 a month. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com. During this hour, I hope to talk with you directly. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is always the same, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now let's go ahead and get to the Q&A section of the program. Let's take a question from our 24-hour listener line.
My question is, my wife had a 401k we had to roll over. What I'd like to know is, there are any restrictions on where I can roll it over to or what I can do with their shares? Can I move it anywhere I like, or do I have to be restricted on what I do with it? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye.
If you're in a 401k and you work there, of course you got to leave the 401k there. Once you do not work at that employer, you can roll that over into an IRA. And that's what I usually always suggest, roll it into an IRA. And you can roll that IRA into any other custodian. You have to set up an IRA at a custodian. It could be at the bank, it could be at a mutual fund, it could be at any financial institution. We'll open up an IRA for you, and then you can roll it directly from the old 401k into the IRA. Once it's in the IRA, you can invest in anything you want on the open public stock market. Now, if you want to buy real estate directly from there, there's ways to do that, but it gets much more complex. Okay, much more complex. So basically, you can almost invest that money in anything you want. and you can roll an old 401k into a new IRA. It's called a rollover IRA. So that's pretty simple, pretty darn simple. What happened today in the market? Well, it was interesting what happened today, and we'll talk about that. But we're going to talk today, our talking point is 10 great investing sites and apps for millennials and for some of you other people if you want to use it. You don't have to be a millennial. And some of these are really good. I looked at them, and some of them are just okay. But we're going to talk about them. Tools to help you, you know, manage and control and see your money, build wealth. That's going to be the main talking point. Also, I'm going to talk about the jobs report, a little bit more detail, what happened. It was good news. Remember when someone called yesterday and wanted to know if the market was going to go up or down with the jobs report? And I said, well, if it's really a poor jobs report, I think the market might even go up because that means the Fed won't raise rates. If it's a really great report, I'm not so sure the market will go up. I don't know. But what happened? The jobs report came in right where they expected. Market shot up, didn't it? So we're going to talk about the jobs report in a little more detail. And why the Chinese think we're crazy. The Chinese people, not the government. I'm talking about the government. Why the Chinese people think we Americans are crazy. They do things a little bit differently. And I wanted to point out three of the things they do differently that maybe might indicate not only that show you the different cultural attitudes, but possible different investment opportunities. And finally, myths about getting good gas mileage. Myths about getting good gas mileage. Things that people think that they should do or that their car should be and they will get better gas mileage, which are not true. And some of these are pretty common knowledge things or inaccurate. That's what we're going to talk about. Of course, you come first, whatever you want to talk about, so make sure you call. The market, the Dow was up 266 points. The market was up 266 points. The Nasdaq was up 58 points, and the S&P was up 28. Looking at the S&P, I look at the S&P and look at the top of the S&P made in very late December. That was a top. If you remember right, the last day trading day in December, the market fell pretty hard. So it was just a day or two before that was the top for last year, and I drew a line. And before today's action, the market was below that line. And after today's action, the market now, the S&P, is above that line. And it's really close to where the high is for this year. That tells you how low, how small of movement above the line has happened one, two, three, like four times this year. This would be the fifth or sixth. And it's interesting that almost the entire time, I would say three-quarters of the time, the stock market has been below that high made in late December. And about a quarter of the time above it. And it's above it right now after today. Before today, it wasn't. Isn't that kind of fascinating? It tells you the market is pretty much going sideways. It hasn't decided yet whether it's supposed to continue rallying from our multi-year rally or give back some of this market, some of that strength. And I don't, I think we're going to have a correction during the summer, but is the market ready to roll over and have a bear market? I don't think so. It's hard to see a bear market developing yet. I don't see it. It's going to happen someday. We all know that. It's common. And the more people fear it, the less I think it will happen. So the more people write about it, you know what I fear is when everybody thinks that they're never going to have a bear market, then I know we'll definitely have one pretty soon. It's just the nature of the beast. Each month we deliver an economic and market forecast to our InvestTalk insiders. The one for May went out today. Your free insider membership also gives you access to our recorded webinars. So if you want that kind of information, you just sign up. To sign, and it's free, and all you do is provide an email so we can send it to you. Sign up, just go to investtalk.com. 888-992-4278, 888-992-4278 is the number. You can call us right now. I'd love to talk to you. So let's talk about some of those apps that the millennials could use to find out about, you know, help manage your money. There's one called Betterment. Betterment, B-E-T-T-E-R-M-E-N-T, Betterment. It helps, The Betterment app is available on iOS and Android, uses concise screenshots to show overall account balances and performance. FinMason, or FinMason, F-I-N-M-A-S-O-N. This is an app that helps. It's Fin is financial, stands for financial. It's a place for unbiased information, unbiased reports or research. That's what it's, at least that's how it advertises itself. Acorns, just as it sounds. This helps you invest extra money. I don't care for that one at all, to be perfectly honest. Then there's another one I don't care for called Capital, for capital, spelled with a K, K-A-P-I-T-A-L-L. And this one, the only thing it does is help you buy things easily. I'm always concerned that maybe it's too easy to buy things. You know, it charges $7.95 a commission to buy it. And it does it using, instead of symbols, it uses representations of the stocks you're buying. It's just kind of gimmicky to me. Not all these apps are all that great. Don't think they are. Each one has its plus and minuses. You have to decide what you like. I actually like some of the apps that the phones come with. iPhone's app is pretty good because it just tracks what the market's doing, and then it can provide articles for it if you want to read about it. I kind of like what they have. You know, all these other apps are fine, but how much time are you going to spend using them? Really, how much time are you going to spend using them? Some of them, you don't want to put all your financial information there because what if you lose the phone? Of course, you got to be, you know, make sure you keep your passwords up to date and stuff like that. But those are some of the things that the millennials, I noticed Justin does use a lot of apps. I mean, he's probably got 100 apps on his phone. But I don't see him using them all. I see him use a number of them. But you know how you just tend to use the same ones a lot? Well, that's how it works. You get comfortable with them and you want to use them. 888-992-4278 is the number. We saw GDP numbers out. Remember the GDP number came out this week and it was only up 0.2%. And I said that the very next day we had a huge spike in our imports. Our trade deficit really spiked up. And I said that it's going to be revised. The GDP number will be revised negative territory. And today the jobs report kind of puts a little bit of softness to that. Maybe it will be revised in negative territory, but not as much as I thought it might. So that's possible. 888-99-CHARGE, how to reach us? And so let's take a quick question.
Yeah, this is Jerry from Long Beach, long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a question about the stock TCP Capital. The symbol is Tom Chart, Paul Chart. I am buying this for the dividend. I like to know that whether the dividend are safe or not. And thank you very much for your idea. Bye.
Probably not safe. Probably not. I can't tell you for sure by the quick look I am taking here. Dividend is 9.3%. It's a business development company investing primarily in special situations, credit investments, and middle market companies. And the reason why I say probably not is they keep issuing lots of shares in the last couple of years, issuing more and more shares. When that happens, you're diluting the earnings per share. It makes money. $1.67 is a $15.56 stock. So it's paying almost all of that earnings out in a dividend. Well, how does it do that? Well, it can do it by issuing more shares. Eventually, that stops working. So you can't say the dividend is safe in those situations. Now, I'd have to take a lot closer look, but I would say no, it's probably not safe. Check out our balanced income program. Check out our balanced income program on investtalk.com using KPP Financial time test ability to identify undervalued assets. At least that's what we hope. Balanced income portfolio. This is InvestTalk.
When investors consider portfolio management for their retirement accounts, they'd like to think that the person managing their money has a stake in their success. That's why the principals at KPP Financial practice parallel investing.
And that means our money is riding right along with our clients. Everything that we buy for our clients, we buy in our own personal accounts at the same price, same percentage for ourselves.
That's parallel investing.
So if we make our clients money, we make money.
If you'd like to know more about parallel investing and any of the KPP financial programs, just visit investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
We pride ourselves on this. It's very important for our clients to know this and also our listeners to know this.
The portfolio managers at KPP Financial are invested in your success. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, using historical comparisons, this money manager believes we are most likely in the latter third of this bull market. So should you be adjusting for a coming downturn? That's our talking point for Monday, May 11th. And we hope you'll be with us then.
And by the way, our talking point, we're talking about the apps for the millennials. We do have a link on our website to an article about those apps, so you can get more information. So just go to the homepage on investtalk.com. That's with two T's, investtalk.com. The jobs report came out this morning before the opening. It was 223,000 new jobs created last month. Okay? That's April. The estimate was 228,000. So that's rare that they come that close. Rare. So I mean you have to say it was right on. Last month, just as a reminder, the economy produced 85,000 jobs. So it rebounded to 223,000. And it drove down the unemployment rates by a percentage, by, you know, a tenth of a percentage point, from 5.5% to 5.4%. Wages were up a tick, but basically they've been pretty flat. I mean, year over year, wages have grown like 2%, but that is kind of weighted to the higher income people, not the average guy out there. They haven't hardly had any wage increase at all. Now, in this most recent quarter, March showed a pretty strong wage growth, and we saw a report out this week, earlier this week, that the labor costs have gone up, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, because we need to have consumers with more money in their pocket. We need it. Now, just so you know, there are millions of people still looking for a job, but also in this report, we saw more people re-entering the job market. All that's a good sign. Those are all good signs. So it was a pretty good jobs report, and the stock market, of course, liked it. This also means that maybe the Federal Reserve is back on track to raise rates in September. Remember, with the bad GDP number in the first quarter, everybody was talking about maybe they're postponed it. My personal opinion, I don't think they're going to be any big rush. Because what's the pressure for them to raise interest rates? Do we have a labor market that's really tight? How do you recognize a really tight labor market? Is salaries are increasing fast? Well, that's not happening. Are we worried about inflation? Because that's part of the job of the Federal Reserve, to worry about inflation. And they would worry about inflation because the economy is overheating. Do we see any inflation out there anywhere? Nope. So what would be the big rush for them to raise rates? Maybe the reason would be just to normalize them. Normalizing means put them to a point where it is normal. And this part of a recovery from a deep recession we've had back in 2008, interest rates should be 3%-ish in that range, and they're near zero. The federal funds rate I'm talking about. And it's near zero. There's really no reason for it to be that low, really. I mean, you'll hear reasons out there, but our unemployment rate 5.4. It was 5.5. Why are the rates so low? Why? Because the economy is pretty fragile. Okay, agreed with that. But is it so fragile it can't handle a 1% rate? See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about degrees here. So, but the Fed does not have pressure to raise rates. No, there's none in the economy, none in inflation, there's none in wage inflation, price, nothing to tell them that they have, the economy's GDP is overheating. Well, we're going to have probably shrinkage in the first quarter. Yeah, there'll be a rebound in the second quarter, but it won't be that much. So there really is no pressure for the Fed to raise rates. And, you know, they'll be watching overseas and seeing the markets around the world. And if they raise rates, what will that do to the dollar? And what will that do to our economy? Throw us right back down? They're going to be really careful. That's how I see it. Let's get back to the phones. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Glenn called from Castro Valley.
Well, my question is this. Retail investors seem to be exposed to all kinds of information about how to outsmart and beat the market. Do you feel that, you know, in general, that you just using modern portfolio theory and asset allocation is perhaps the best way for most retail investors to invest? Thank you.
Probably. Your proper asset allocation is more important than trying to beat the market. And the reason being is, it's human nature when the market is rallying and has been rallying for a while that you think it's going to be like this forever. And it's human nature to try to, you know, I'm going to just buy the indexes, be happy with the index because hardly anybody can beat them. And that's all true. Most average people can't beat them. Most experts can't beat the indexes. It's all true. Where it becomes a problem is when the retail investor is faced with a correcting or bear market. Then all of a sudden they don't want to be an index investor. All of a sudden they want to get out, and they invariably get out right at the bottom or near the bottom, finally giving up on the market. And then when they get back in, when it's already rallied, and that's where the problem. So a professional and modern portfolio theory and proper diversification will help you weather the downturns. That's really what you're focusing on. Try to weather the downturns. Try to not go down with the market. Remember, the market goes down 50%. You got to go back up 100% to break even. So it's very important to try not to go down with the market. Coming up next half hour, our InvestTalk Personal, when do you need a will? I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and I hope you'll stay with us for the next half hour, and you're listening to InvestTalk.
What are the dangers of short selling? Can anybody do it? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk.
Chart. We're going to go talk to Matt in Redwood City. He wants to talk about Whole Foods. How you doing, Matt?
Good, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for
taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a real good trade experience with Whole Foods around the first of the year, and I wrote it up, and then when it started to come down, it hit my stop sold, and I've just been watching it ever since. Mm-hmm. And I get Warren Buffett's opinion on it. Mm-hmm. And where do you see it going, let's say, in the next 1 to 2 months to 1 year?
Okay, I definitely think it's going to go to the high 30s. It's at 42.50, dropped from 48 of that, in the last day or two. I think it's going to go to the high 30s, my personal opinion. It's kind of expensive for a food store. It always has been, by the way. Always has been kind of expensive.
Right.
Whole Foods symbol, WFM, and I'm sure most people know what Whole Foods is. They have 380, about 400 stores in 42 states in the United States. And they announced they're going to open up a smaller, less expensive chain of grocery stores because they're having trouble maintaining their growth. So, and see, it's a 26 PE based on a growth rate is now 10-12%. This doesn't deserve that high of a PE, and so I'm a little bit concerned that it might still be pricey.
Well, it doesn't really have any support where it is right now.
No, it kind of is.
At least I didn't get any support.
Yeah.
I could see it going down another 10% very easily.
Yeah, I can too, and that's where I think it will probably hesitate. That looks like strong support, about $38, $39, somewhere in there. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris in San Mateo. How you doing, Chris? Oh, Chris is gone. That's not good. Come back, Chris. Come back. Why the Chinese think we're crazy? I'm not talking about the government, our government. I'm talking about the people there, why they think we're crazy. And, of course, we probably think they're a little crazy, too. But this is one of the reasons. They don't understand why we would ever drink water out of the tap. They think that's crazy. Sales of bottled water has skyrocketed in China over the years, and they, you know, because they have a history of polluted water there. So they don't drink water out of the tap. Never drink it out of the tap. And they think we're crazy to do it. Now, what is that? Might be a good opportunity because they have the biggest sales of any liquid in China is water, by far. And they don't understand why we don't use parasols. The sun is brutal. Why do we not shade ourselves? Well, the Chinese have a culture where, you know, they want to have pale skins, where our culture is we want to have tans. So maybe you can find a good parasol maker company to invest in China. And what they don't understand this. Why the women don't take post-maternity rest periods on a consistent basis. Why they don't understand, like, why the women here in the West will be up and around a couple days after they have the baby. China has a whole industry of offering restorative health drugs, foods to women who just recently have babies. There's a whole industry about that. And I'm just wondering if that's a possibility of some kind of investments. So they think we're crazy, and this is why. One of the reasons why. You know, water, why we stand in the sun and brown ourselves, and why women who have babies are up and about the next few days instead of not taking a month with bed rest. You know, that's what they do. We don't do it here. Kind of interesting, huh? Time for Invest Talk Personal, about the day-to-day personal issues, financial issues that impact your life. So when do you need a will? When do you need to make a will? Now, I have a will. I made it probably about 10, 15 years ago. A lot of us never get around to do it. Half of Americans aged 55 to 64 don't have a will. Half of them. Now, this is a survey, that's by the way. Is that bad? Well, depends. It means that when you die and you don't have a will, the state determines who gets your assets. And if you have children, of course, the state's going to determine who's going to get to watch them or raise them. So if you don't mind the state taking all whatever assets you have and then giving it to whoever, then I guess you don't need a will. What prompts many people to get a will is when they have a baby, they have children, and when somebody close to them passes away in an accident or illness, that's when they start to think about it. So when do you need a will? Not want one, need one. Well, basically, when you have obligations or assets, you need one. If you have children, of course, as I mentioned before, but if you have significant assets of any kind, and if you want them to go to something specific, you need a will. In most cases, a home is both an asset and an obligation, and that needs to be included in your will. For the very simplest wills, very simple, you can do it yourself. But I don't really recommend that too much. It's not kind of the norm. The norm is you need some help and get an attorney to help you write a will. They're not that expensive, but you do need help in many cases, especially if you have any kind of assets or complication of your life. The biggest mistake, of course, is putting it off and not doing it. That's really the biggest mistake people make. And that's Invest Talk Personal. Do you have a question about wills? I'll try to answer them. It's easy to get through to us right now, 888-99-CHART. So why not try it?
There are some risks that you can manage, not eliminate, but manage. There can be a plus side to investment risk, of course. It leaves you open to the possibility for more gain. It's a balancing act. Why not measure your capacity for risk and get your investments into balance? Use our free risk analysis tool on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is John Michael out of Boston, Mass. I listen to you guys on podcast every day, looking to get your take on Qihu 360 Technology Company, Chinese company, ticker symbol QIHU. Looks like they've had some pretty good revenue growth. All their financials look really good. Free cash flow is increasing. Book value per share is going up steadily. The one thing I'm seeing on their financials is their debt keeps increasing. And I'm just wondering how worried I should be about that. Wanted to get your guys' take on if this is a buy right now. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay. Quiahoo 360 Technology, Q-I-H-O-O is how you spell the name, and the symbol is Q-I-H-U, and it is a Chinese stock, okay, and it's trading on our New York Stock Exchange right now. Chinese provider of internet security software, browsers, search, and online games developed by third parties. It is a $7 billion company. They're going to make $4.75 next year. That's a 38% increase from this year, which is $3.44, which is a 42% increase from last year. So pretty strong growth. Growing sales about 100% per quarter. Per quarter. So from that kind of basis, it's not an expensive stock, but the stock was sold off from $100 a share back in August of last year to today it's at $57. And it's got as low as in the mid-40s. Now it's at 57. So, why? The return on equity is very good. Cash flow is $3.46. That's pretty good. PE is not too out of line. $57 stock with a $4.75 earnings is only, what, 12, 13, 14 PE next year? And you hit the nail on the head is probably why it's not trading as high as it should be. And that is debt. I mean, 30% owned by management. Mutual funds have been net sellers for over a year. They've been getting out. The numbers look really good, but something's not right. Something. My biggest question would be the same question you're asking, is why do they have such a high debt level? Because they do. They have a very high debt level. And you got to remember, it has a beta of 1.49. So this is 50% more volatile than the stock S&P 500. That's what 1.49, 49% more volatile than the S&P 500. So it's a pretty high-risk play, but also fairly inexpensive based on the fundamentals. It's very cheap based on the fundamentals, except for that debt issue. That is where you're going to focus your time and try to figure out why they have that much debt. Why would an internet company that provided internet security software, browser search, and online games development by third parties, why would they have so much debt? Why do they need it? And that's the thing I would look at. I think that's what you got to focus on. I think you hit the nail right on the head as to what to worry about, even if it is cheap. Okay? We're going to go to, let's see, we're going to go to Al in Seattle. How you doing, Al?
Good evening, Joe.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The question is about Pfizer. I own a little of the stock, but I'm interested in buying more for the dividend, and I'm looking to hold it for long term. I'm like in my 50s, and I'm looking for a little more security. So I'm wondering, is this a good time to get in? And
Okay, Pfizer, everybody. Everybody knows who Pfizer is. Develops branded prescription drugs for cardiovascular and metabolic diseases. Their sales have been going down 2 or 3% every quarter for 2 years now, sales. They're able to maintain a pretty hefty profit. The profit was down $2.05. It's going to be down 9% this year to $2.05 a share, but bounce 9% up next year with a dividend of 3.3. And I'll say this, the dividend is very secure. The stock is going to be around for years and years and years. It will. I can't see anything wrong with the stock. I don't want you to get too much of any one stock, though. I mean, there's a lot of other type of stocks in the same area besides Pfizer that are just as good or better, and you might want to consider. You say you have some already and you want to buy more. Well, how much do you have of your portfolio? Is it like 3% of your portfolio, 10% of your portfolio? You know,
I have about 1,000. It's probably maybe, it's about 5% of the portfolio. I also have Merck and Gilead.
Okay.
but I'm not as invested in those two as I am in Pfizer. So
okay. Well, I think 5% is plenty for any one stock of your portfolio. And I'm not bad mouthing Pfizer. Pfizer's a good solid company, and they'll be around forever. Has good return on equity. I mean, and they'll start growing again. They'll buy growth if they have to. They don't develop their own drugs. So there's nothing wrong with Pfizer. If I was going to buy more, I'd like to see you pick it up in the high 20s, $29 to $30. I think that's a much better price in that area. So I would be patient and wait till it comes to you if you want to buy more. But I probably would look elsewhere. It pays a 3.3% dividend, and there's other companies that pay nice dividends. It sounds like you're building a core holdings, and you might have plenty of this area with the three stocks you mentioned. You might have enough in this area of the market. Al, appreciate the call. Thank you. I mean, you could check a look at some oil stocks, and maybe you already have those consumer, non-discretionary consumer products, something. Just make sure you have a good diversification. That's what you're looking for, good diversification. Okay? And again, Pfizer is a good company, PFE. It really is a good company, but it doesn't have the growth. Merck, you mentioned Merck, MRK is a symbol for Merck. Merck is also having the same shrinkage of sales, about the same percentage, but they're a 3% dividend. And you mentioned Gilead. Gilead is not G-I-L-D, isn't that what Gilead is? Yes. Gilead is much better sales growth, but they're also not nearly as diversified, and they pay hardly any dividend, 0.4%. They're more of growth because they're growing much faster. But all three are pretty big, pretty big. Myths about getting good gas mileage. You know how that people tell you do this, do that, and you get better gas mileage? And one of the myths is, and I have seven of them listed here. One of them, and I don't know if I'm going to get to them all. I don't know if I will. One of them, though, is you have to buy a small car. You don't have to buy a small car. People think you have to buy. No, you can get good gas mileage with a regular-sized car, especially with the hybrids. Look at the Tesla. It's all electric. That's not a small car. You can get great gas mileage since you don't have any gas. But, this day and age with direct fuel injection and hybrids and diesel turbocharge, advanced transmissions, not necessarily. You can get pretty darn good gas mileage in a mid-sized car. Doesn't have to be small. Of course, the smaller it is, the lighter it is, generally the better gas mileage. But the myth is that that's what you have to do to get good gas mileage, and that's not true. I'm getting pretty good gas mileage on. I have an old Lexus, probably 8 years old. And I get the same gas mileage I've got when I first bought it. That's another myth. As a car gets older, you get less gas. Not necessarily. No, not in this day and age. We're coming up on the last segment of the hour, everybody. I have five or six more myths to tell you about gas mileage. So if you want to talk about that, that's what we're going to discuss. Or, of course, whatever's on your mind, give me a call. So let's try to get your question in. 888-99-CHART.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And we thank you for subscribing. Remember, if you have a question that you'd like Steve or Justin to answer personally, the invitation still stands. Just click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com and they'll get back to you.
888-99-CHART, we're going to talk to Ethan in Sunnyvale. Wants to talk about GDX. How you doing, Ethan?
Hi, it's actually Stephen. Hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for the call.
I appreciate your show. Yeah, good question. You mentioned occasionally that at this time it would be useful to have a hedge in your portfolio for a potential downturn or market correction. And I was wondering if GDX would be a good possibility. Hold my tongue.
Yes. Matter of fact, that's not. We're not using GDX. By the way, everybody, GDX is the ETF gold exchange-traded fund seeking the performance corresponding to the ARCA gold miners index. Ethan, we are using a couple of gold miners as a hedge right now. Not GDX itself, but the miners themselves. So GDX, it would be, I think, a decent hedge against a falling market. It's not a perfect hedge, meaning if the market goes down, this will go up the same amount. That's not how it works, but it is a good hedge because it's not necessarily related to the market. It's more related to if the economy falls or, you know, there's some kind of disaster in the world or there's fear. It's a good hedge against fear, and when a market starts falling, fear goes up. Generally, gold goes up. So, yeah, the answer is yes. GDX would be a decent hedge. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Ethan. Let's go to Tim in San Jose. How you doing, Tim? You want to talk about Yelp?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm always thinking about the company. They're saying that it's going to be someone's going to buy them out.
I think so. They're looking for someone to buy them. Yelp is, everybody, because they're having trouble translating for everybody else, Tim. Provides online platform for allowing users to find and review local businesses via Yelp.com and Yelp mobile app. They're having trouble monetizing their search engine. They are monetizing. They think they can do better, and they think they can do better with the right partner. So the stock has risen sharply in the last couple of days because they've announced they want to be bought, basically. Before that, the stock has been doing pretty bad. Okay, for the last almost year, falling from 85 down to 37 today, and the last 2 days went from 37, almost $38 a share to 49. So that's how fast it popped up in the last 2 days. So Tim, I do think that someone will come along and buy them. I do. I think that it's a valuable franchise to own, but they just announced they put themselves up for sale. They haven't said that there's any kind of interest in it yet. Do you own it, Tim? Yelp?
No, I was thinking about buying it.
Well,
right now.
You could roll the dice, and if someone comes and buys, I'm sure it's going to go for more than $49.93 a share. I think it's probably going to go closer to $60 a share if someone comes along and buys it. I do think that. Good luck, Tim. Hope it works for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's Yelp, Y-E-L-P, Yelp. Okay, I'm going to get quickly to some of the other myths about good gas mileage. How about it takes more fuel to start the car than it does to when the car's idling? Not anymore, not with fuel injection. The car needs to warm up before you start driving it because you won't get much better. You'll get better fuel, better mileage. Nope, not anymore. Not true. You don't need to let it warm up. Not in the new cars. You need to replace the air filter. Remember, these are myths about getting good gas mileage. You need to replace the air filter for more efficiency. Nope, that's wrong too. It is true for the old carbon, when you had a carburetor, but now the cars have little computers in them, and they the dirty filter sucking in air, they adjust the amount of fuel used for the air being sucked in. So, nope. I mean, it's not a good idea to have a dirty air filter, but you don't need one to get better gas mileage. And one more. Aftermarket additives improve gas mileage. Nope, they do not improve. Tests have said that's not true. And in fact, some of them damage the engine. So those are some of the myths that are not really true. Before we close for the hour, our intent is to help every person make more informed decisions with their money. So if you have a question you want to ask me directly outside the program, you can just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. That's an email that comes directly to me, and I will get back to you. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPB Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.